The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Bahar.
Parshas Bahar, Perek Chof Hei Poshuk Lamed Hei. Vechi Yomu Chochicho Moto Yodei Imoch. Echzakte Boi Ger V'Seishov V'Chai Imoch.
That when your brother will become poor, Moto Yodei Imoch, and he starts to fall, Echzakte Boi, you shall uphold him, you shall support him. Ger V'Seishov V'Chai Imoch. This includes also a ger v'seishov, the stranger that is with you, v'chai imoch, and you shall give him life with you. Al tikach mi'itei neshech v'sarbis. When you do give him some money, now seemingly it's speaking about a loan. When you do give him some money, do not take from him neshech v'sarbis, do not take interest from him, ribis. V'yoreisim alekecho, and you shall fear your God, v'chei ochicho imoch, and you shall let your brother live with you. Eskas b'chol leisitein lebeneshach. Money you shall not give him with interest. Ubemarvis leisitein ochlecho. Or even if you lend him food, you shall not take back more than you give him. Ani Hashem elokeichem. I am the Lord your God, asher hotzeisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, who has taken you out of the land of Mitzrayim, loseis lochem es eretz Kenan, to give you the land of Eretz Yisrael, yoyis lochem leilakim, to be your God. Some of the comments that Rashi makes on these psukim, "Bechzakto bei al tanicheu shiyorad shiyered viipul viyakoshel akimai." You shall uphold him, you shall support him before he falls. Elachaskeu mishas meitzayad lo mezedem elamasi shel alachamor. This is similar, an example, if there is a donkey that has a heavy burden. While it's still on him, if it's falling, one can put the load back on the donkey. Nofal l'oretz, chamisha ein mamidin esay. But once it falls to the ground, then five people can't lift it up. So therefore the mitzvah is to support your brother when you see that he's in trouble before he falls. Don't wait for him to go insolvent. Because once that happens, then it's a major tragedy, and then it's a major undertaking to do something about it. But while he's still in business, while he's still able to cope somewhat for himself, except he needs help, that's what the Torah is telling us, the exact way, you shall strengthen him, you shall support him. Then Rashi says, V'yareisim alekecho, you shall fear Hashem. This is under Posuk, that you shall not give him your money with interest. Because a person is very close to the concept of lending money for interest. The concept of lending money without taking interest is something which is naturally alien to a person, the Chazal tell us. And therefore this is a very difficult Aveira. The fact is, there are places in the Chazal that tell us that this perhaps is the most difficult of all of the Aveiras from a person to separate himself from. Because he feels he has money, something can be done with this money. He can put it into the bank, he can put it into certificates, he can get 16%, 17%, 18%. He can invest it in business. Why should he give it to someone else? Well, that person is going to invest it in business, and his money will be idle. So therefore, it's a very difficult, mitzvah. And this, a person is very close to the idea of taking interest, and therefore, koshali freshe menu, it's difficult for him to separate himself from it. Umeir la'atzmei heter bishvilma esav shoye beteles etzlei. And he looks for all types of loopholes, in which he would be able to lend his money and get interest from it. We're speaking here about lending to a Jew, says Ochicho. So therefore the Torah says, V'yoreisu melekecho, you shall fear Hashem. These are my commandments. And fear Hashem, and don't worry about your interest that you think that you're losing. Oh, then Rashi brings another reason why it states V'yareish Melekecho. These are from the Gemaras in Bava Metzia, Daf Samech Beis. Hatelam Esav Benochri Kedei La'alvesam Yisrael Beribush. Hatelam Esav Benochri Kedei La'alvesam Yisrael Beribush. Hareze Dover Amosel Elibi Shalodom Umachshavte. A person might lend money, but claim that it's not his money. Really, it belongs to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew had lent it to him. And now I'll lend it to you. But since it belongs to the non-Jew, so therefore I have a right to take interest. This is what he might do. He might cover up. Now this is something which is given over, which it is not apparent to the human eye. We cannot be mavchin, we cannot discern here whether this is really his money or someone else's money. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'yareis Melekecha, I am the one who can discern. Don't try to camouflage anything when it comes to my mitzvahs. People can move in. You can move in. Why don't you let everybody come in? Don't sit by the door. There's plenty of seats inside here. Asher Hitzesi. The Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Why is this written by this mitzvah? V'vchanti bein b'chor l'sheinim b'chor af ani yodeh v'nifra min amal v'mos l'Yisrael b'ribes b'eim r'shal nochrihim. When I came to destroy all of the firstborns of the Egyptians of Pare, how did I know who was a firstborn and who wasn't a firstborn? How did I know who was a firstborn of the Egyptians and who was a firstborn of the Jews? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell. So v'yodeh ani Hashem, I am the Lord that has taken you out of Mitzrayim, so you shall fear me also when it comes to the mitzvah of ribbis. Don't create situations where you think that you can lend your money to another Jew for interest, because just like I was able to discern between who was the firstborn and who wasn't, I am able here to discern also whether it's ribbis or not. Dovar acher, another meaning Rashi says, "Asher itzesi eschem me'aretz Mitzrayim al menashe tekablo aleichem mitzvosa afilo ein kfedus aleichem." I took you out of Egypt. I freed you from slavery to give you my mitzvahs. So don't say that this is a mitzvah that we cannot accept. It's too difficult. It's not as difficult as being in Mitzrayim. Being in Egypt was much more difficult than the command of lending your money to another Jew without interest. So therefore, remember that I took you out of Egypt on the condition that you shall accept my mitzvahs even though they are difficult. And then Rashi brings, L'yois lachem l'elokim, to be your God. I took you to Eretz Kanan, to Eretz Yisrael, to be your God. Shekol ador be'Eretz Yisrael ani l'elokim, v'chol ha'yetzim imenu k'eved aved izor. Whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael, because of the great kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, there the whole recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different compared to someone who goes away from Eretz Yisrael. There it's as if he has other gods, because the recognition outside of Eretz Yisrael cannot be as strong as the recognition of the Almighty in Eretz Yisrael. Now, these are the psukim here related to this parsha. So here we have a mitzvah of lending money. This evening, let's speak a little about this mitzvah. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Malva Veleva, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Rambam brings mitzvahs asei lahalveis la'aniye Yisrael. It's a positive commandment to lend money to the poor of Yisrael. Shinemar im kesev talves ami eso oni imoch. As it states, that if you will lend money to my nation, to the poor that's with me. Yochel Rishus. Now the Rambam is not quoting our posuk. Actually, this mitzvah is written in three places. The Rambam is quoting from Parshas Mishpatim. In Parshas Mishpatim, Shmos Chov Beis Posuk Chov Dalet. It states, Im Kesev Talves Ami Eso Oni Imoch, if you lend money to my nation, to the poor that is with you, Lo Sia Leke Nation, you shall not be to him like a demanding creditor, Lo Sisimun Olov Neshech, and also you shall not charge him interest. Now here the Pasuk states, Im, if you will lend. So the Rambam brings the drosha, which is from the Mechilta, that Rashi brings, and it's also from the Gemara in Perek Eiz V'Neshach. Yochel Rishus, since it says, Im, if you lend my nation money, so it seems that this is optional. Talmud Leimar, Have Taviten Olei. Have Taviten Olei, you shall lend him. Now here, the Mechilta brings from from a third place, and that is in Parshas Re'eh, Dvorim Tesvov. This is speaking about the mitzvah of tzedakah. That the Torah says, "Ki yevacha evyoin me'achar achecho b'achat shorecho," that when there is a poor man amongst your brethren, in your gates, in your land, which Hashem will give you, leisametzes levovcha veleisik peisetziotcha me'achicha evyoin, you shall not harden your heart, and you shall not close your hand towards your brother the poor. Ki foseach tiftach esyotcha lei, you shall open your hand to him. This is in Devarim Tesvot Posuches. Then it states, Vahave Tavitenu Dei Machseire Asher Yechsalei. Have Tavitenu. What does that mean? Have Tavitenu means that you shall lend him. This is what the Chazal tell us. Unkelis explains it, Vahizofa Teisfine, which means that you shall lend him money. So the Posuk here is speaking both about the mitzvah of tzedakah and the mitzvah of lending money. And here it does not say it in an optional way, im, if you will, but it says it beloshen chiyuv, as a command, have tavitenu dei machsori asher yechsalei, that you shall lend him as much money as is needed by him. So, actually we have three sources. We have here in our Parshas Bahar, and we have in Parshas Mishpatim, and here in Parshas Re'eh. So the Rambam brings that since it says im kesev talveh, that if you lend your nation money, so from here I would think that it's optional. Yochel Rishus Talmalema Have Taviteno. But from this posuk in Parshas Re'eh where it says Have Taviteno, you shall lend him, so we see that it's obligatory, that it's a mitzvah asay. And this is the drosha from the Mechilta. The Rambam does not bring a source from our posuk. This is a query, this is a question. Why doesn't he bring any source from our posuk where it states explicitly in our parsha that when your brother becomes poor, exactly, you shall uphold him and you shall not lend him with ribbis? So we see that it seems to be speaking about a loan. So this is a question. But at any rate, we have three sources, and we have the two sources where from there is built the mitzvah of halvah. Incidentally, the commentaries state that it's only one positive commandment, not two positive commandments, when it comes to the mitzvah of halvah, even though it's written twice in the Torah, because one comes merely to explain the other. As we stated, if it would just be one posuk, we might think this is optional. Then the Rambam continues, U'mitzvah zu gedele min atztoko elo oni asheil. This mitzvah of lending is greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah, of charity, to give to the poor who asks. Why? Shezeh kfar nitzrach lishol, v'zeh edayin lehigi al amidazu. Because when there's a poor person and he's asking for money and he needs it, he's already come to the degree where he seems to be broken financially. While here we're speaking, to lend to someone before he has to go beg. He hasn't reached that degree yet. And here you can prevent. A preventive is always much better than a solution, see, than a cure. So therefore the Rambam says that this mitzvah is greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah ala ani ha'shel, shezeh kfar nitzrach lishol, v'zeh edayin lehigi l'midazu. Now, we can ask the source for the Rambam on this, the Magid Mishnah brings, Kachom Ruzal, Godl Hamal v'yeser min ha'nesen, that the sages tell us it's a greater mitzvah to lend than to give money. But we can ask a seemingly very strong question on this. In Hilchos Tzedakah, that's in Perek Matnas Aniyim, in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Perek Tes, Rambam says as follows. Chayovin onu lizoyer b'mitzvah stoko, yeser mikol mitzvah zese. We're obligated to be more careful with the mitzvah of tzedakah than any positive commandment in the Torah. The reason that Rambam says, Sha'at tzedakah simen letzadik zera Avraham Avinu, because tzedakah is the hallmark of the righteousness of the seed of Avraham Avinu of Abraham. Shenemar ki yadativ lemana sheyetzav izbonav la'asei tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Abraham that I know that you will command your children to do tzedakah. And the throne of Yisrael and the whole all of the statutes of the Torah, the whole majesty, comes only through the merit of tzedakah. And also, Klal Yisrael will be redeemed only through the merit of tzedakah. Now, if the Rambam says that we're obligated to be more careful in the mitzvah of tzedakah than any other mitzvah in the Torah, so then how is it possible that here the Rambam tells us that we have to be more careful in mitzvah halvo, in the mitzvah of lending? The mitzvah of lending is a greater mitzvah than the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. How is it possible? You just said that the mitzvah of tzedakah is the greatest mitzvah of all of the mitzvah of all of the positive commandments. He doesn't really say it's the greatest mitzvah. He says that we are obligated to be more careful in this positive commandment than any other positive mitzvah. But still the question, so then how can it be that it's greater to lend? So we see from here a chidush. We see from here something unique. The Rambam in this halacha of tzedakah, in halacha zayin, writes as follows: Shmeina Mailis Yesh Bitztoka Zulam Alamazu. Here, where he's dealing with the mitzvah of charity, he writes there are eight dimensions, eight levels in giving of tzedakah, one higher than the other. Maile Gedelo Shein Lamalamimeno. The greatest level of giving tzedakah, Zeh Machzik Biyad Yisrael Shemoch. That's to uphold the person who has become poor. V'neisin le'matono, he gives him a gift, or halvo, or a loan, or esi me'shutfis, or he makes a partnership with him, or mamsi le'malocho, or he gives him work, kedei lechazik es yoda, in order to strengthen his hand, actually yitztarech lebrias lishol, until, in order that he shouldn't have to come on to help from other people. And here the Rambam brings our posuk that you shall support the person who has become poor, who is becoming poor. Claimar, support him before he falls. Now here the Rambam says that the greatest dimension, the greatest degree of giving tzedakah, is not to wait till the person needs it, but when you see that trouble is beginning, there you should help him. How should you help him? So he says, either by giving him an outright grant, or a loan, or making a business together with him, or giving him work. Here he includes a loan. So you see that the Rambam is learning that a halva, a loan, is bechlal tzedakah. That included in the mitzvah of tzedakah is a mitzvah of halva. And it's from the greatest mitzvahs, if it's done at the right time. So it's not that it's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of tzedakah, of giving a person outright charity, and there's a mitzvah of halva, which is another mitzvah, to lend a person money. But this is also included in the mitzvah of tzedakah v'chesed, in charity and chesed. So therefore, we can understand now why the Rambam says that in the mitzvah of tzedakah, we have to be more careful than any other positive commandment. At the same time, he tells us that it's better to lend someone money than to give him money. Because when you lend him, that's also tzedakah. Where is the tzedakah? First of all, you're letting him use your money. See, that's the tzedakah. Secondly, the Torah said that we can't take any schar, we can't take any wage for it. So I'm letting him use my money b'chinam for nothing. That's tzedakah. So that's why tzedakah, we must be more careful than any other mitzvah. And to lend someone is better than to give someone. Because you give him the opportunity to pay back. He doesn't have to come on to an outright grant. And now something else is clarified for us. There's also the proper time. Whether you're giving money or lending money, the greatest time to do it is before the person falls. Once the person falls and he's mitztarech lebrius and now he has to come on to other people, then the mitzvah is not as great as if you would have done it before. Because it's a greater chesed to save a person from such a predicament than to allow a person to go into that, to enter into that predicament and then save him. See? So there's the timing. Now that's actually what our pasuk is speaking about. And that the Rambam brings our pasuk, exactly. So actually, our pasuk is not teaching us a new mitzvah. And that's why the sources of halva, of loans, are not from that pasuk. It's not teaching us a new mitzvah. It's just teaching us when is the best time to fulfill that mitzvah. The mitzvah of loans, that we learn from what we mentioned in Parshas Mos, Shmos and Parshas Re, where it states, Im talve, that if you will lend, and have taviteno, you shall lend your brother. That's where we learn the mitzvah of loans. The greatest time to lend is the exacto, when you see that your brother is in trouble and you support him, you uphold him before he falls. That's the greatest time to lend. Lending is included in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Not only is it included in the mitzvah of tzedakah, but the greatest degree of tzedakah. Because hanesein, godel hanesein, godel hamalve me hanesein, it's better to lend to someone than to give to someone if he's capable of paying it back. So therefore, it answers these questions. Incidentally, the hexacto, that you shall support, you shall uphold your brother before he falls now, that can be speaking either by a loan or an outright grant. See? And that's what the Rambam brings the pasuk about. Whether you give him a loan or whether you give him a grant or whether you give him work to do. Because the main thrust of that pasuk is to tell us that before someone falls, uphold him, support him. Don't let him fall in any way you can. Then the Rambam tells us, "V'hatera hikpira al mishi moni melahavis looni." The Torah was objected very strongly to a Jew that refrains from lending to a poor person. See, it's human nature that a person might say, "Why should I lend the money?" For two reasons. First of all,
How do I know I'll get it back? Maybe I won't get it back. And secondly, why should I lend him my money when he's going to have the benefit of it and then I won't be having the benefit of it? I can be doing something with that money. So in this, the Rambam says, "Va'atere hikpido." The Torah objected very strongly al mishi emona milahalva isla oni, on someone who refrains to lend from the oni. Shneamar, where do we see that? As it states, "V'ra'i nechu be'achicha evlin." Now here he quotes from Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Re'eh, where we quoted before, the Torah is speaking of Shemitah, the seventh year. And the seventh year, during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the law of the Torah was that all of the loans became cancelled when you lent 1,000 man to an oni. And when the seventh year would come along, after that he wouldn't have to pay you back. You weren't allowed, he could if he did, wanted to, but you weren't allowed to claim. So a person might say, so why should I lend him then? So the Torah tells us, Hishamelacho, be careful. Penyia dovrim levofcha v'liyahu, lest you have an evil thought in your heart. And it's interesting, the Gemara brings that v'liyahu, this phrase is used also by idolaters. And the Torah is citing Avodah Zorah, it brings also this phrase. And from here the Gemara says that people who will not do chesed with their brothers, they don't want to give to their brothers, this is very close to serving idolatry. Leimor korvish nasa shevish nasa shmito, that you might, what will be the evil thought that you'll have in your heart? You'll say that the seventh year is coming, and that's shmito. V'ro eincho be'achicho evyoin, and you'll have an evil eye towards your brother the poor. And why should you give him? You'll lose your money. V'leisite in lay, and you will not give to him. And he will call out to Hashem, and it will be an avera for you. So the Torah said you must give him. Don't worry. Don't look badly upon giving him. Because you think that by withholding the money, you'll have brocha from it. Not true. By giving the money, you'll have brocha. The Torah tells us explicitly. You want brocha, you want blessing, you want abundance, you'll have it. If you give him, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you brocha, b'chol ma'asecha, b'chol mishlach yodecha, in all of your works, and in everything that you'll stretch out your hand in. So the Rambam learns from here, that just like the Torah commanded that we shall not withhold lending money to the poor, before the seventh year, because there's a chance, because if he doesn't pay before the seventh year comes, we'll lose our money. So the same thing for other reasons. We have no right to refrain from lending to a poor for other such reasons. But we must lend to him. This is not speaking where we know that the person will be careless with the money, totally careless. This is something that we'll mention in a few minutes. But to speaking under normal circumstances where the person is a responsible person, he's an upright Jew, as we'll see later on, that it's a very important mitzvah that he has to watch his money carefully. He's an upright Jew, except he's in financial trouble. So on that, a person must not say, why should I lend him? Firstly, my money will be, I will not be utilizing my money. Secondly, perhaps I'll never get it back. On that, the Torah says, you must lend him. Do not have such a machshava, do not have such a thought. Now we have another halacha. Kol hanegi she'oni v'hu yedea she'ein lei ma yachse lei eva b'leis aseh shnema leisia lei k'nesha. Torah tells us that when you do lend the poor person, now this is in Mishpatim. In Kesef Talves Ami, es oni imoch leisia lei k'nesha. When you lend money to my nation, to the poor amongst you, leisia lei k'nesha, you shall not press him hard for the money. A nesha means a creditor that bears down on him forcefully. Whoever does this transgresses a leisase, a negative commandment. This means that if you lend money to someone and you know that he doesn't have it to pay back, then you're not allowed to come and pressure him. You're not allowed to put the squeeze on him. And not only you're not allowed to, but if you do, you transgress a negative commandment. The Maharami Prague in his Nisivat Stoko, near the end of the last parak of Nisivat Stoko, he asks a question. If the mitzvah of halvo, of lending, is a positive commandment, it's obligatory. So why does the Torah say im kesef talvi ismin? Why did the Torah write it in such a fashion which makes it seem only optional? Because he says that the mitzvah is not merely by lending the money. Because if you do lend the money, but then you're an Asher, then you forcefully try to reclaim your money when he doesn't have it, so you're detracting from the mitzvah. So therefore, when you lend, that's not the perfection of the mitzvah yet. It's only when you lend and you allow him to keep it until he has it to return. That's the perfection of the mitzvah. Therefore, the Torah wrote that at the time you lend, it didn't write it below Shem Sivui as if that's the mitzvah yet. See, the mitzvah will be tested later on if you will not be an Asher, if you will not press him to claim the money back. As it states that you shall not be a nation. The Gemara says even further. Not only you're not allowed to press him, but you shouldn't even show yourself to him when you know that he doesn't have it. You shouldn't make yourself too apparent to him when he doesn't have it and he knows he owes it to you. It's speaking where you otherwise you won't see him. It's not speaking about someone that you always see, but let's say you lend someone money and you don't usually see him, so you should not make yourself too apparent to him in order not to frighten him, not to put pressure on him or to embarrass him. Because when he sees you and then he realizes, hey, I owe you money and I still haven't paid you and I don't have it, this embarrasses him. See, and this frightens him. Even if you're not claiming it from him. See, so this is how far the halacha goes. Now the Rambam only brings Loshen Isur here, so it's a shaila if it's actually the negative commandment or not. It might be only an Isur Rabbonin, but nevertheless, it's osur, it's forbidden. So when you lend someone money and you don't usually see him, and you know that he doesn't have the money to repay you yet, then you're not allowed to even make yourself too apparent to him in order not to embarrass him or frighten him. Now, just like there's a great responsibility on the malva and the lender, there's also a great responsibility on the leva and the borrower. Ukeshem shosel ezel litfeya, kachosel le leva lichvesh momen chaveri shebiyode. Just like that, you're not allowed to claim it back from him if you know that he doesn't have it. It's forbidden for the leiver, for the borrower, to withhold momen chaveri shebiyode, to withhold the money that he has from his friend, and to tell him, here, I don't have it today, come back tomorrow. Come back the next day. It could be a shaila here. The Magid Mishnah brings that if a worker works for you and you owe money and it's due today, if you don't pay him within that 24-hour period and you have it, you transgress a negative commandment. So this would be even a kal vachomer, because a worker, it's not his money. He has a claim that you owe it to him, but it's not his money yet. But a lender, that's his money. It was his money that he gave you. So you're holding actually his money. Even though Milvay Tzoni, no, it's a different money, but it's his. So there could be a svara to say that you would transgress a negative commandment, that if someone has money that belongs to someone else that was lent to him, and it's due and he has it, then it could be a negative commandment if he doesn't pay it back immediately. Also, a lever is forbidden to take money, to borrow money, and to spend it unnecessarily, until it comes to the point that he'll squander it, and then the lender will not be able to get it back. And even if the one who lent it to him is a very wealthy man. In other words, he has no right to say that the one who lent it to me is a millionaire, I'll do what I want with it, and if I won't pay him back, he won't miss it. This is forbidden. And someone who does this is a Rosha. As it states, someone who borrows and doesn't pay, this is a Rosha. This is an evil person. That when you're dealing with someone else's money, that has to be as precious to you as your own money. So therefore, if someone must borrow, then he must borrow. But he must be as careful with it, that money, as with his own money. And he must make sure to return it. Right, these are a few halachas that the Rambam brings. Let's just take a look for one minute in Cheshen Mishpat, where there are a few halachas added here to these that the Rambam brings. At the beginning of Hilchos Halvo, Simon Lamites. No, excuse me. No, it's not here. At the beginning of Hilchos Gvias Milba, Cheshen Mishpat Simon Tzadik Zayin. The Mechaber de Beis Yosef brings the similar halachas that we learned in the Rambam. Then he adds that not only is it a mitzvah's essay, positive commandment to lend to an oni, to a poor person, but and he brings here that first comes when it comes to the mitzvah of lending, you have the same priorities as when it comes to the mitzvah of giving stokko. For example, kreve oni kedem lanim acherim. Important principle. Your family comes first. If there are two people that need, and one is a brother, or one is a son, or one is a father, or one is a cousin, a korov kedem. The closest relative comes first. As it states, bisocha al tisalim, that you shall not conceal yourself from your own flesh. Then, the poor of your city come before the poor of another city. Then the Mechaber brings Vafilo Osho, Shetzorech Lahalvois Mitzvah Lahalvois Elefisho. Now this mitzvah is not only by a poor. In here it's different than the general mitzvah of Stokot. Stokot is a mitzvah only to the poor. Lending is a mitzvah even to the wealthy. Even a wealthy person who has money is a mitzvah to lend if he needs money for some business venture or something. It's a mitzvah to lend him. And also to speak nicely to him if he's in need of money. And also to give him a good etzah, to give him good advice. Now, another halacha that the Mechaber adds, on this deen, that a borrower is not allowed to spend the money carelessly to the point where he won't be able to pay it back, if the lender realizes that the borrower is such a type of person that's going to squander the money, then it's better not to lend him. Why? Then it's better not to lend him. Why? Because he is going to bring himself to Averis. Because if he does lend him, and then he has a hard time to get the money back, every time he tries to get the money back from him, he's going to transgress the negative commandment, where he's pressing him hard. So therefore, it's not a mitzvah to lend a person, to lend such a person. What happens? What happens if such a person now is in a situation he needs money and you want to help him? So then the pace can bring the grow and others, and then it's better to give it to him outright. If you really want to help him and he squanders the money, but you still want to help him, don't lend it to him. Give it to him outright. Okay? Because if you lend it to him and your das is that you want to get it back from him, so first of all, if he doesn't give it back to him, so it's a shaylan gezel, let's see, then he's a thief. And every time you try to push him to get it back, you'll transgress the negative commandment of Leisia Kanesha. You'll be an Asha, you'll be a creditor that's pressing him. Okay? Therefore, the halach is, if it's such a person like that, that you see that he's not responsible at all, then you shouldn't lend him. If you still want to help him, then give him the money outright. Why was the Torah so stringent when it comes to lending money with interest? What's wrong with lending money with interest? It seems that it's a very common business practice, but it seems that it's an honest way to make some money. And we see that the Torah, the Gemara is right that this Aveira carries in many ways more ramifications and more consequences than almost all other Aveiras in the Torah. And the Gemara brings that kol ha-kefer b'mitzvus ribis is kilo kefer b'yitzis mitzrayim, that whoever denies or does not keep the mitzvah of ribis is as if he's denying the exodus, the going out of Mitzrayim. As we read before, because in our parsha it states that you shall not lend with ribis, ani Hashem elekecho, asher hoitzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of Mitzrayim. Lo seis lachem eretz Kenan, to give you eretz Kenan, eretz Yisrael, ani Hashem elekecho. And there's other gemaras that say that someone who's kefer in mitzvahs ribis is kilu kefer ba'akadosh baruch hu, as if he's denies the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as if he denies all of the mitzvahs. Okay. So the Maral brings in his Netzivat Stoker at the end in Perek Vov. He says to understand this, first we have to understand the mitzvah of Halvo. Why was the Torah so stringent and commanding us in the mitzvah of lending one another? He asks the question. The Gemara in Bamatzia brings, it says, Anayin Aleph Omer Aleph, and this is the halacha we quoted. It states, Oni vi osher, oni kedem, shenem mares oni imach. If two people need money alone, a poor man and a wealthy man, so the poor comes first. So he says, from here it would imply that it's a mitzvah to lend the wealthy man also. Except first the poor, but after that the wealthy. He says, why should there be a mitzvah to lend a wealthy man? Someone without money, we can understand. But it's not speaking about a wealthy man that's lost his money, because then he's no longer wealthy. We're speaking about a wealthy man. Why? Someone without money, I can understand why I should share my money with him. But someone who's a wealthy man, why should I lend him? So he says the reason why we're obligated to lend one another is because Klal Yisrael are Nikroim Achim. They are brothers. And if we notice that many times in the mitzvah of Tzedakah and the mitzvah of Milva, it states Achicho, your brother. And what this means is that because Klal Yisrael is one, they are one nation. Since they are all brothers, therefore there's Achtus, there's unity. They are one. When something is one, then there's always a give and take between them. For example, you take the human body. The human body is one. You always find that all of the organs, all of the limbs of the human body work in harmony, where one gives to the other and one receives from the other. Like the heart pumps blood to every part of the body. The blood is circulated from one part of the body to the other. The nutrients and everything else goes from one section to the other. Why? Because it's one unit. Because Klal Yisrael is one, they are Achim, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that there must be constantly this Nesina Zeh Lezeh, this Kabbalah Zeh Mizeh, this giving one from the other, this receiving one from the other, because they are one. He brings a Medrash. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah Perek Lamed Aleph states, Bo orei kol b'riyosef shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lovin Zeh Mizeh. He says, come and see how all of the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu borrow one from the other. Hayom leiva min halaylo, v'halaylo min hayom. The day borrows from the night, and the night borrows from the day. We know that it does the same thing at the dawn. As the light starts to come, there is still darkness. The day borrows from the night, and the night borrows from the day. Halavona leiva min akechovim, v'akechovim min halavona. The moon borrows from the stars, and the stars borrow from the moon. Or leiva min hashemesh, v'hashemesh min haor. Light borrows from the sun, and the sun from the light. Kodesh Baruch Hu created all of his creations where they borrow one from the other. Now, why did he do this? He did this because they are one unit. If each creation was a separate entity, then it would be entirely separate, divided from the other creations. And there wouldn't be any mixture. But because each creation is not a separate entity, but is only a segment of the entire creation, and the entire creation, the entire Bria, is Echod, is one. That means that each creation is part of the other creations. If they're apart, then there must be this constant interchange, this constant exchange. So therefore, all of the creations borrow one from the other. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to create the world this way? There's a few reasons. One reason is, the Chazal tell us, is because Shalayitain Piskun Pe'alaminim, in order not that people shall not be able to say that we see just like there are many creations in the world, therefore there are many creators in the world. People could come to think of that. People did think of that. They used to think that one creator there was for fire, and there was another creator for water, and there was another creator for the winds. But when we see that all of the creations blend together, and they're all one, so then one cannot say that there are, just like there are many creations, there are many creators. Then there's a deeper reason. Actually, the two reasons are intertwined. The deeper reason is that the Chazal tell us that the fruits of a person resemble the person. The fruits of a tree actually are the manifestation of the tree. The fruits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are his manifestations. Since he is Echod, he is the perfection of one, then everything that he creates also must be in this perfection of one. Therefore, there's the oneness of the universe. So that's the pshat. Kol habriya is loving zem izeh. They all borrow one from the other. They're not separate creations with separate creators, but they came from one creator. And if they came from one creator, then they all must be one. Now the same thing by Klal Yisrael. It states that Yisrael is unique from all of the other nations. Miki amcha Yisrael gei echod ba'oretz. Who is like the nation Yisrael that has this oneness, a one nation? That means that there is no nation that has oneness like Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael has this unique oneness because it's B'ni B'cheri, Reishis Tfuasi. They are the produce of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his choiced crops, his firstborn. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, therefore his nation also must be one. They have this uniqueness that no other nation has. Miki Amcho B'Yisrael. If they are one, and they are not separate entities, then there must be this constant exchange and interchange between them. Kol habriya is loving zem izeh, just like in the universe. We see that they all work together and they all give. The day gives from its light to the night, and the night gives from its darkness to the day. This must also exist by Klal Yisrael. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a tzivuy, a command. Im kesev tal vizami. Achzaktabai havei taviteno. You must lend your fellow man. Therefore, there can be no difference whether he's an oni or an osher, whether he's poor or wealthy. When it comes to tzedakah, when it comes to the basic mitzvah of charity alone, that's to fulfill another person's need. All right, that's only by someone who is poor, to give him an outright grant. But when it comes to the lending of money, this is even by an osher, even to a wealthy person. Because if a person will not give to another person, will not share his wealth with another person of Yisrael, this is a declaration that he's a separate entity. There are two different entities. What is mine is mine, what is yours Two separate entities. And that is not the achdus, that is not the singleness, the unity of Klal Yisrael. Therefore the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, were very explicit in the mitzvah, in the great mitzvah of lending, which, as we mentioned, is Bechlal Tzedakah, the highest level of Tzedakah. But in this way it differs, because it's not only to the poor, but even to the wealthy. If that's the case, so why do we say Ha'ani Kedem? It should be then, there shouldn't be any difference in priority, whether you lend to a poor or whether you lend to a wealthy. Why Ha'ani Kedem? The poor man comes first. So the answer to that is we've mentioned this before, the giving of tzedakah is not giving money. The Torah states, V'chei ochicho imoch. V'chai ochicho. That let your brother live with you. The giving of tzedakah is giving life. Why? Because you give him panoso. You give him sustenance. The money is sustaining him. So you're giving him life. And this is why there are many gemaras, and we're learning these gemaras in the Yeshiva Na'am Masechta Baba Basra. Many gemaras which brings the greatness of the reward from coming to give tzedakah. Brings a case of someone who gave tzedakah to a woman and her children, and he was added they added 22 years of life to his life. It states Shlema Melech said hatzedakah tatzil mimoves. Tzedakah saves a person from death. Why? That's the reason, because the tzedakah is the metzias achayim. Tzedakah is the essence of life.
First of all, you're giving life to the other person. Now, if you're giving life to the other person, this means that you have enough life for yourself and for the other person also. You're influencing it to other people. And secondly, you're becoming a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mafanis Kol Chai. He is the one who sustains the world. And if you give stock and you help him sustain the world, you're becoming a partner to him. And this means you're cleaving then to the source of all life. Therefore, tzedakah is the metzias hachayim. It's the essence of life. Now, that's why first it's a mitzvah to lend to the poor and then to the wealthy. Because when it comes to the poor, their life is depending on it. Just like in the human body, which is one unit, and therefore it gives and takes. But what happens if one section of the body needs something urgently, otherwise it'll die? So the whole body unites to send to that area of the body all of the necessities to keep life existing. So the same thing, if there is an oni, a poor person, then you must give him first. This is also the reason why it states that the poor of your city come before the poor of some other city. Because you are more attached to the people of your own city than you are attached to Jews further away, even though all Jews are one. Just like in the human body, if there's an organ or there's a limb which is adjacent or joining to another limb, so there's a much greater attachment than if you have limbs which are far apart from each other. So that's why it's a mitzvah to give to all and to lend to, when it comes to lending. But there's the priority first of the oni, and then the oni of your city, and then the aniyim of the other cities, and then to the osher, then to the wealthy. Now, if we come now to understand the deeper meaning of the mitzvah of halvor, now we can come to understand what the great avera is of lending with ribis. The Gemara tells us, "Kol ha'maylim ayin minat stoka kilo eved avera zora." This we mentioned before. That someone who doesn't give stoka is as if he worships idolatry. And he learns, the Gemara learns actually darshans it from that word Bili'el. What is the meaning of this? Because someone who does not give to his fellow Jew, what is he doing? He's isolating himself. This is a separatism. He's isolating himself from his fellow Jew. And this means that he's creating a separate entity. To create a separate entity means there are many separate entities in Klal Yisrael. And this is matche, this rejects HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is when we reject the supremacy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the HaKol Yochel, that he encompasses all of creation. We reject that. And there are specific isolated powers in the world. Okay? There's a god of the rains, and there's a god of the moon, and the god of the sun, and so forth. This is idolatry. If a person is malimayin, he doesn't see the needs of his brothers, and he withholds his wealth from them. So this means that he's isolating, he's separating, he's dividing himself from the others. So he's creating separate entities. In creating separate entities, he's creating an interruption in the oneness of Israel, and in the interruption, an interruption in the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Achdus, the oneness of Israel, comes from the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore it's Kila Ever Avedah Zorah. It's as if he's worshipping idolatry. He's making many entities. He has destroyed the singleness, the oneness, the all-encompassing power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when a person lends money, but with interest, this is the hepech. This is contrary to the mitzvah of chesed, to the mitzvah of doing good and stocking chesed. The Torah calls ribis nesach. And in Parshas Mishpatim, and this, in this Parsha, Rashi brings, im kesef talve zami es oni imach leisia lekenesha, that when you lend money to my nation, the poor, you shall not forcefully extract it from him. Leisia simon olav neshech, you shall not charge him interest. It's called neshech. What is the word neshech? Neshech actually means a bite. And Rashi says, ribis shehi kenishichas nochosh. It means a bite, and it's the bite of a serpent. It's the bite of a serpent. Shenochosh neishe chabur ktana beraglei veina margish. Just like a serpent comes, a serpent bites a person's heel, bites him at the very end, at the very extremity of his body, where it shouldn't do any harm whatsoever. Actually, the nochosh usually goes for the heel. In the Maase Bereishis, it states that the war between the serpent and Chava, and the mother of all life, will be by the heel. See, a man will try to crush the nochosh with his heel, and the serpent will try to bite the heel. The heel is the least significant part of the human body. It's the least significant part, and the least important part, our sages tell us. It's the furthest from the head of the person, from the face of the person. So therefore, if someone injures a heel, it shouldn't be much of an injury at all. Yet that's where the nochosh strikes. A small bite, the ena margish, and he doesn't hardly feel it. And then all of a sudden, it swells up, and it circulates, the poison circulates through the body all the way to his forehead, all the way to the brain. Right? And it will kill a person. Kach ribis, eina margish veida nikar, acha haribis eile mechasrim oman harbe. So is it with ribis. You charge a person interest, he doesn't feel it at first, a small amount. But as it keeps adding up and adding up and adding up, it can eventually destroy him. This is why it's called neshech. Now the nochosh was muchen lemisa. The nochosh was set aside for death. He is the opposite of life. It was through the serpent that death came to the world. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us to do a mitzvah of v'chei yochichi imoch. Give life to your brother, because he's your brother and Klal Yisrael is one. So give him from your life. And instead of giving him from your life, you are killing him with it. You give him your money, which you're giving him from your life, but with it you take his life. Because you charge him ribis, you charge him interest, and that's a neshech, a neshichas hanochosh, this is the bite of the serpent, which will eventually destroy him. Extract and squeeze out all of the life from him. So this is even worse than being malim ayim in atztoka. This is worse than someone who doesn't give tztoka. Someone who doesn't give tztoka, so he refuses to share his life with someone else. But someone who lends with interest, so not only is he refusing to share his life with someone else, but he's using his life to extract the other person's life also. Kineshichas hanochosh. Tztoka and chesed, that's the metzias hachayim. That is life, he's using it for death, for the nochosh. And he's totally isolating himself from others. Instead of influencing and giving from his life to others, he's isolating himself. Therefore the Torah said, in our parsha, Al tikach mi itay neshech, Do not give it to him with interest. And v'yoreisa melekecho, fear Hashem. And this the Gemara says, Gemara brings that it's the nature of people to say that if Moshe Rabbeinu would know how much money one could make by lending interest, Moshe would have refused to have written that commandment in the Torah. This is what the Chazal say. It's such a good way of business. Moshe would have refused. See? The world stands on it today. And actually we see the Baral brings out something else. We see that if somebody steals money from someone else, he transgresses one negative commandment. If he lends him money with ribis, with interest, there's many negative commandments. We see by a non-Jew. A non-Jew steals from another non-Jew. He's guilty. He's guilty with the full gravity of the law. If he lends another non-Jew money with interest, he's not guilty. This is a mitzvah that was given only to Jews. Stealing every person is commanded on stealing. But ribis, this was a halacha given only to Jews. V'yoreisu melekecha, you shall fear Hashem. Because it, like Rashi says, it's kosher lifreish. It's a mitzvah which is very difficult. It's a transgression which is very difficult to separate oneself from because it's such a good way of making money. But you shall fear Hashem because v'cheochicho imoch, because I commanded that you shall share your life with your brother. He's your brother, and Klal Yisrael is one. Ani Hashem elekecho asher etzeis yeschem eretz Mitzrayim laseis lochem es eretz Kenan liyos lochem lelekim. What does this have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? In Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim was the physical level. Egypt was the physical level of the world, like we've spoken about many times. Physically, you're not one. Every body is a separate body. Every human being is separate. So there's no oneness. And that's why by the nations of the world, they're not commanded to share with each other in such a degree. They're not allowed to harm each other, but they're not commanded to share with each other in such a degree. Because they're not one. But Ani Hashem, Elekechem Asher Etzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of this physical level. Loseis lochem es eretz Kedan, to give you eretz Yisrael. When I took you out of this physical level, I brought you to the spiritual height of Yisrael, and I gave you eretz Yisrael. It's the spirit of Klal Yisrael that makes them one. In physical bodies, they are many. But because of their spirit, they are one. Their neshama, their soul, they are one. And if you remained in Mitzrayim, then you would be separate entities. Then you wouldn't have to share your lives with your brothers. But since I took you out of Egypt to give you Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael you come to greater dimensions in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because since that's the Eretz HaKadosha, that's the land where you can develop spiritually, then you can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Liyos lachem lelekim, that I can be your God. Therefore I've commanded you in the midst of ribis. You are a spiritual nation, and spiritually you're one. The nefesh of Yisrael is one, and therefore it must flow back and forth. And therefore someone who denies this mitzvah and who lends to other Jews with interest, the Gemara says, is kekefa b'yetzias Mitzrayim. He denies the whole concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Klal Yisrael rose above the level of Egypt. And he denies his kefer in the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This gives us a very good insight into mitzvah of tztoko, and in more particular the mitzvah of halvor, which is part of the general mitzvah of tztoko, but a particular aspect of it. Why the Torah commanded us in this mitzvah halvor, and why the Torah prohibited us that when we do lend to a fellow Jew, not only al yera lavovcho we must lend to him, but we must lend to him where he has a way of life from it, not a way of death from it, that we must lend to him without ribis. This is the mitzvah what we learn from this parsha in this mitzvah of Stokon Halvor and Vakzakto, that the greatest dimension the Rambam brings is to lend to him or give to him before he falls, not wait till he falls. We should be zeche to be mekayim this mitzvah and be zeche to all of the many, many brochos that the Torah writes, which are the rewards for this mitzvah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.